Hey, this is a weekly podcast for leaders of the Daniel Inductive Bible Study at Columbine United Church. Thanks for tuning in to a couple of my brief reflections from commentaries as we head into our week. I hope your groups continue to be doing well. This week we hit Daniel 3. Daniel 3 is a chapter without Daniel. We have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as his cohorts, but no Daniel this week as we look at the furnace. So chapter 3 echoes back to chapter 2, where Daniel has had this dream of a giant statue. And now this King Nebuchadnezzar seems to have been inspired by the statue and goes out and builds one for himself. You know, people are commentators and, you know, archaeologists are mystified by the size and description of the statue. It seems like impossible to really make a statue like that. But nevertheless, he builds this gold-plated statue to himself and then sets up, again, you know, we have this like maybe obstacle course of faith in each verse, in each chapter, where he sets up the king, these impossible demands of saying that everyone must worship him or else. Or else in this is to be thrown in a furnace of blazing fire. You know, fire is one of the themes that will come out in this chapter of the role of fire. There's lots of cross references of fire. God shows up in fire. God speaks to Moses in the burning bush. God is, Yahweh is an all-consuming fire referred to. When Moses encounters, show me, in Exodus, when Moses says, show me your glory, Moses's face shines like one that has encountered fire. So this fire, to encounter the fire can be a shining, experience that can be reflected to glory. But then there's also the fire of sacrifice and of pagan sacrifice. And so this idea of throwing your youth into a fire also comes from this idea of King Ahaz and other kings would do child sacrifice. And so that comes out in 2 Chronicles 28, where we have God later say, I don't want your sacrifices of your children. And so God in the prophets is speaking out against the Canaanites and other pagan groups who would sacrifice children. So there's a place in the Bible called Tophet, Tophet. And they found like mass child graves of these pagan religions who believed that sacrificing your children to fire would bring glory to God. So that's some of the theme and context there with fire. So in line 20, we have certain Chaldeans, again, it's astrologers, Chaldeans, wise people, come forward and speak out against the Jews. And so this is our setup here, starting in verse 20 of what happens. So again, these certain Jews that they point out are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we don't really know about Daniel in this chapter. You might prove me wrong, but I don't think Daniel is ever mentioned. And so, again, this is one of our themes, is the power and authority, earthly versus divine. And these wise men point out in verse 26 that these Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these Jews, they pay no heed to you. and they do not serve your gods, and they do not worship your statue. This reinforcement three times, they are not, they do not acknowledge your power and the power of your God. So we see Nebuchadnezzar in a rage. That's interesting. He does bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in for like a sort of trial, right? And asks them and interrogates them, saying, is it true? And they respond. And so this is kind of this great, like, martyr response of being unflappable. Kind of interesting. I don't think I would be. Line 37. We have no need to present a defense to you in this matter. And they sort of put their God to the test. If our God, who we serve, is able to deliver us, right, then we trust that our God will. But we are not going to serve your gods. It's interesting, the next line. It says, Nebuchadnezzar was so filled with rage or wrath. So their response, what is it about their response, I wonder, that incites so much anger to Nebuchadnezzar? It says in line 43, his face was distorted. His expression was altered. Right? It's kind of another interesting thing to discuss. The Bible rarely has commentary on people's facial expressions. I can't even think of another one. That'll be an interesting thing for your group. Can they think of another place where we have a commentary on someone's face? I don't know. I looked it up. I couldn't find any others. And so we have this furnace heated up 7 times 70 or 7 times hotter. You know, it's interesting that it's sort of self-defeating them, Nebuchadnezzar, right? Because it kills the guards, the heat. It also would make the people that he's trying to make suffer, not suffer, because they would have been scorched immediately. The 7 image is one, you know, one of our biblical numbers, but then also the number 7 is going to come up a bunch of times, I think 3 or 4 times in chapter 4. So 7. 7 times 70, right, comes up in our forgiveness chapter. How many times do we forgive? It speaks to the full circle of time. I don't know what the importance of it is in our firing furnace today. It's an interesting question for your group. And so we're told that the men are thrown in. Comments, of course, on the little minute details, even of leaving their tunics and their trousers and their hats. And they're thrown into the blazing fire. And with it overheated and raging, what happens? It kills the men who are even exposed to the heat. It's just contrast, illuminate the power of the fire as a contrast also of the power of God, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So it says that they fell down, bound in the furnace. And then what happens? There's not 3, but 4. It's curious, this fire, like, how in the world is this a bonfire? I always imagine it as a furnace, which would be closed then, as it talks about furnaces. How in the world does Nebuchadnezzar see? But anyway, we see 4 men. He sees 4 men. And none of them are hurt. They are walking around. And this 4th has the appearance of a god. Literally, the translation is, a son of the gods is in there with them. Other times of protection in fire in scripture, Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord will encamp around those. And then Isaiah 43, verse 2 and 3 are a good cross-reference for this. When you walk through the fire, I will be with you. I will protect you. You will not be harmed. So there's lots of cross-references. But I wonder if they all come from this idea of passing through the fire. As they come out of the fire, everyone gathers around, right? They're on this, that we're told in verse 58, that again, this whole group of the wise people who have authority gather around and they see that the fire has not had any power. I think that phrasing, the fire has not had any power, is so interesting to me, right? Fire is the essence of power. And fire, too, in the Hebrew scriptures, but also in these cultures, fire was a god, a manifestation of God to be worshiped. Because, right, like fire and water, both, they saw as having like divine principles or being divine expressions, because they're so powerful and scary. And so this fire has no power over what their bodies, to the extent that the hairs of their heads are not even singed. One commentator says that this being with them, whether like this angel of the Lord that is with them, some people think it's Christ that is with them in the furnace, this image of the Messiah, that the angel or the presence of this godly presence brought in a soft, gentle wind that protected them from the fire. I love that. So to the extent that they are in a furnace and there's not even the smell of fire, lots of compare and contrast about those who follow Yahweh being protected and exempt from any pain. So they come out. This is an interesting, again, like, what is the author saying? What are the themes? What are our themes about power, control, divine? Which divine power? All right. So then, of course, the end is they have great favor. And Nebuchadnezzar, again, declares their God as the best, right? And makes them exempt now from the accusations of the others. Interesting, interesting chapter. This chapter is very similar. It would be very similar to read this alongside the Daniel and the Lion Den. We're not going to preach on that chapter, but it'll be interesting to compare this and these two chapters of the furnace and the lion's den. A person resisting being thrown into something and then being protected. One commentator said that, oh, I'm going to get it wrong, but like the furnace was the Babylonians and the lions was the Assyrians. And so it kind of speaks to the two cultural influences of persecution. A couple cross references of God being with believers in times of pain and suffering. Hebrews 11:35. And Hebrews is one of our New Testament books that is so deeply rooted in the old, in the Hebrew scripture stories. Romans 8:38-39. And 2 Timothy 1:12. All right, here we go. Here's my so inspirational commentary and reflections on Daniel 3. I'm preaching on this week and just excited to continue to talk about our divine and earthly power struggles and how they work out. Hey, friends, have a great day. Leaders, thank you for being willing to do the work to lead these groups.